The paragraph two, then, we come to the third thing, and we'll finish with this tonight. The third thing, the resurrection of the dead generally. So at the last day, such as are found alive shall not die but be changed. The time when it'll happen, what happens to the living whenever this last day comes who haven't died. And now, all the dead shall be raised up with the selfsame bodies and none other, although with different qualities, which shall be united again to their souls forever. So this is the paragraph that deals with the resurrection of the dead, generally speaking. It will get to the specifics in regard to the bodies of the just and the unjust in the next paragraph. But here, these are things that are true of all the dead who are raised up, whether unjust or just. And there are four things here. First of all the dead will be resurrected. All the dead will be raised up. All the dead. The just, the unjust, the young, the old, male and females, whatever race, even unborn. The dead, all the dead raised up. Not only are all the dead resurrected, they will be resurrected with their bodies, their own bodies, their same bodies in which they lived and died. Now, that means that you'll identify with your body. You'll know it's your body. I don't know how much it'll have changed, but you'll know it's your body. You'll identify with it somehow. Now, there's a great mystery here, and there are many questions that would be asked. Well, I mean, how is it if a baby has died? Well, what way is the baby going to be raised up? Is the body going to be adult body? Is it still going to be a baby body? I don't know the answer to some of those questions. But it will be their body. Some sort of a link with their DNA or whatever. It'll not be somebody else's body. There'll be no confusion. Thirdly, while it is their bodies, those bodies will have different qualities. They will have undergone change. The different qualities from what they had on earth. And you see this, we'll say more about this when we come to deal with the bodies of the just. But you see a great change in our Lord's resurrection body. It was a glorious body. He seemed to be able to materialize, seemed to be able to go through solid matter, through walls. He just seemed to suddenly appear, disappear. There are peculiarities about his body. And whenever he was raised from the dead, the grave clothes weren't all over the place. They were there on the bed where he lay, because he just, as it were, just passed through them in his resurrected body. It had different qualities. Qualities that were making it suitable for eternity, for new heavens, for new earth, for glory. It underwent a glorious transformation. And yet it's still his body. And they still recognized him. And he still showed the wounds, you remember, his hands and his feet. But there are new, different qualities. And then fourthly, that the reunion of body and soul shall be eternal. That's very important. Which shall be united again to their souls forever. Forever, so they'll die no more. Now, the proof texts, if you go through these quickly, Job 19, verse 25 and 26. I know that my Redeemer liveth. He'll stand at the latter day. There it is again, the last day. He'll stand at the last day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body that has all these boils, all these problems, this body that the worms will eat and be consumed, my flesh consumed, yet he says, yet in my flesh I'll see God. not in my spirit, not in my soul. But he knows there's a last day, a Redeemer appearing, and he knows that he will be raised from the dead, and in his flesh, his body, not somebody else's body, but in his body, he will see God. So that text proves the identity of the body before and after death. It's Job's body. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. So that text proves the change. Yes, it's sowed into the ground, but it's not raised the same. It's sowed corruptible, and it corrupted away, but it's raised again incorruptible. It can't corrupt anymore. It'll never corrupt again. Its qualities have been changed so that it has become an incorruptible body. It's also become a spiritual body. That doesn't mean it's a spirit body, but that means it's a body that is under the complete control and impulse of the Holy Spirit, of the Lord, of God. It's not driven by self anymore. It's under the control of the Lord. It'll be a disciplined body. It's a powerful body. No longer the weaknesses, hungering and thirsting, and the sweating and the toil, and the getting the diseases. All of that is gone. No more of that weakness. And it's glorious. So it undergoes these changes. And again, I refer you to the larger catechism for the comparison with the Confession of Faith for the new additions and the variations in the language. And one of the variations in question and answer 87 is, a general resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust, when they that are found alive shall in a moment be changed, and the selfsame bodies of the dead which were laid in the grave, being then again united to their souls forever, shall be raised up by the power of Christ. So you see that the catechism also deals generally, the just and the unjust, the living changed. They're not focusing in on the reference to the believers and the unbelievers until the end or part of question and answer 87. The start of 87 is all generally speaking. So we're quite right in following our line of thought here in the Westminster Confession of Faith. The generals then to the specifics. Despite the unease of the London Baptist Confession of Faith, the Westminster Divines didn't have that unease. They believed that the unjust living would be changed every bit as much as the just living would be changed. Two additional proof texts are given in the Catechism. Acts 24, verse 15, hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. So a general resurrection. All the dead shall be raised, whether they're the just or the unjust, they'll all be raised. And then John 5 again, 28 to 29, the hour's coming. All that are in the graves, not some, but all, everybody who's in the graves, will all come forth, whether they've done good, whether they've done evil. It's a general resurrection in that hour, not separated by an eon of time, but a general resurrection in that hour of the good and of the bad. Now, from what is said here, at the end of paragraph 2, it is clear then that only Christ is the first fruits of them that sleep. Because it says here, they're raised with different qualities and they're united again to their souls forever. Like Christ's resurrection. You see, Christ wasn't the first who was raised from the dead. There were others raised from the dead before him. But yet he's the first fruits of them that slept. How can he be the first fruits of them that slept when there was others who slept before him and were raised? And the answer is, they weren't changed. They were just resuscitated. It wasn't really a true resurrection in the sense that the last resurrection will be. And in the sense that Christ's resurrection was. The widow's son in the Old Testament, the resurrection that Elijah wrought in 1 Kings 17, the widow woman of Zarephath's son, and then 2 Kings chapter 4, the Shunammite's son raised by Elisha, they were raised the same as they died. They got sick again. They died again. They weren't joined to their souls forever at that resurrection. That wasn't a proper resurrection in the sense of Christ as the first fruits. Also, Jairus' daughter was raised, and the widow of Nain's son was raised, and Lazarus was raised. But they all died again. Lazarus was the same as when he died. He didn't get a new body. He didn't have new qualities. He wasn't raised sick free forever and ever. And his soul and his body separated again. So it was a resuscitation and not the resurrection at the last day. And that's very important, you see. Because these bodies will all have different qualities, and they'll be united again to their souls forever. And in that sense, Christ alone is the first fruits. But when he comes back again, they that are his are going to have the qualities that his body has, like unto his glorious body. Now, that's why I don't believe that Moses was raised from the dead. There are some who say that, you know, the Lord buried Moses. Nobody knows where his body is. There's controversy about his body. Even the devils are in controversy with the angels about what happened to his body. And there are those who teach and believe that God raised him from the dead. And of course, Moses and Elijah appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration. And we know that Elijah didn't die. So there are those who will say, well, Moses must have been raised. But I don't think he could have been. With these qualities and with this reunion of his soul again, for the very simple reason, Christ is the first fruits. Now, I know Elijah and Enoch must have been changed, but they never slept. Jesus Christ is the first fruits of them that slept. And Elijah and Enoch didn't sleep, as you know. But there, we'll leave it there then. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray then.